What am I going to do? Say sorry, Adam Silvera. We changed our
Right?
mind. No.
No, absolutely not. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where we have a repeat offender intruder today, and we get to talk about love with some people who are like love goals, basically.
Absolute goals.
Relationship goals.
I am Karen from Neptune Bar.
And I'm Mandy of the New Metropolitan Opera House.
Ooh, fancy. Very fancy this week.
I'm a fancy bitch.
In our timeline, it is May 16th. And in y'all's timeline, it is May 24th.
Why do you like to say mean things?
Good Lord. Is it almost the end of May, really? I don't like that.
It's almost my birthday.
I know. That's bonkers. Look at us go. I feel like
That's
this year
weird.
Flew by. It's like
I feel like
by.
Christmas was last week.
I know. Crazy. Crazy. This week in Fangirling, Mandy, what'd you do?
Not a whole lot. So I mentioned last week we had a COVID diagnosis in the house, and then I got the funk. I tested a bunch of times. I was negative for COVID. I don't know.
Not well.
The universe was like, you like to take care of people when they're sick. We're going to make you sick too, so you can't really do that. So great. I did finish the audiobook of The North Wind by Alexandria Warwick. So just a small recap. It was a Beauty and the Beast meets Hades and Persephone kind of retelling that follows Rin of Edgewood, who is taken in place of her sister by Boreas the North Wind as what she thinks is a sacrifice to this god. But enemies to lovers, things happen. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to read about the other winds. There's one, like, without getting too spoilery, the brothers are not the most brotherly of brothers, like the winds.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one brother in particular that does some things. And so it's like, are we going to get a POV book from him about like him falling in love? And we're supposed to like the warm and cuddlies because.
Oh, okay.
So I'm interested to see how that goes. I'm sure she can do it.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm curious to see
my
future in these books. So as I've mentioned, I was sick a lot this week, just like congestion and nasal. I think it was like a severe allergy reaction. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of those storms, which rustle up the specific allergens I have. And I think that my body was like, girl, no. So, and my husband had COVID. So we didn't really leave the house. We didn't, like, I tried to work. I would like log off early, whatever. And when I'm that sick, reading is hard, even though it's something that I love. And Josh was like, I am shocked to hear you say that. And I'm like, you're not a reader. I was like, readers understand, like, you get to that point where I can't turn a page. I can't hit the button. I can't make my eyes follow words. I just want to stare, even with my
focused.
Clicker. Like, I just want to lay here and stare at something and not have to do any work about it. So I put on season 2 of The Gilded Age. Okay. So I can't really go into spoilers because it's season 2. So I'll just give you the premise of The Gilded Age if you've been living under a rock. So Julian Fellowes is the creator of Downton Abbey and has also created The Gilded Age. It takes place in 1880s New York. And I'm just going to read the Wikipedia plot paragraph because it said it better than me. The series follows Marion Brooke, a young woman entering 1882 New York City's rigid social scene, who is drawn into daily conflict surrounding the new money Russell family and the old money Van Ryn Brooke family. The two are neighbors across 61st Street near Fifth Avenue on the Upper East Side. And the series explores conflicts of the upper and upper middle classes, the African-American upper class, and the domestic workers who tend to all of their needs.
Okay.
So you have the Russells, which is George, who's kind of based on Jay Gould and the Vanderbilts, his wife, Bertha, and then their two children, Larry and Gladys. Larry's like a man. Larry's an adult, but he's not like, he still like has to do what his mom says because she is very controlling and I love her. Okay. I breathe for Bertha Russell. I do. And then Gladys is their daughter. She's also an adult. She's just entering society though. So she's, you know, getting cards to dance and all of that. So they arrive on the scene and immediately Bertha wants to be like the center of the social scene. But since they're new money, a lot of the old money ladies kind of snub her and they like don't take her seriously, or they're like, look at how gauche. Everything she does is so gaudy. And I can't give like a spoiler, but there's a specific time in season 1 where she is like, they're trying to publicly snub her and George comes in. There is nothing that man will not do for his wife to make her happy. And it is like George Russell is everything. Ugh. He's played by Morgan Spector. So he's fine as hell, first of all. But it's just like, that is how you treat a wife in 1880s New York, sir.
Love it.
So then you have across the street, you have the Van Ryns and Brooks. So you have Agnes Van Ryn, who's a widow, and her spinster sister, Ada Brooke. And they've recently taken in their niece, Marion, after her father dies bankrupt and like leaves her with nothing. And of course, a woman in the 1880s is nothing without a man who has money. Cool. So Agnes specifically is very haughty. You know, we are old money. We conduct ourselves well. Ada is a little angel. She's very whimsical and sweet. Then you have Peggy Scott, who's a recent graduate of the Institute for Colored Youth. She encounters Marion on a train and through like a series of events ends up working as Aunt Agnes's personal secretary. So she's writing all of her correspondences, which is a full-time job because the New York social scene does not stop. Then as with Downton, you have the like lives of all of the employees that like are at the table downstairs once they've served dinner and all of the drama that they get into. So there's an Astor. Mrs. Astor is there. I'm waiting for some Rockefellers, some Carnegies, some Cranes, and some Morgans to show up if they aren't already like represented somewhere else and I just haven't caught it. So I freaking love a period piece. I love anything Julian Fellowes touches, but I particularly love the Gilded Age because I love the Gilded Age era in itself because I grew up going to Jekyll Island. Have you heard of Jekyll Island? Mm-mm. Okay, so it's this island off of the coast of Georgia, obviously, and it's the Jekyll Island Club. Okay, so in the 1880s, the Jekyll Island Club is founded as like a winter retreat for the elite in New York and all of like the Gilded Age millionaires. It was known as the richest, most inaccessible club in the world. So there's the Jekyll Island Club Hotel, which was insanely exclusive already, but the richest of the rich had actual houses built in Millionaires Village. So there's a house for the Rockefellers, the Vanderbilts, the Morgans, the Pulitzers, the Cranes, the Goodyears, all of those like giant like names that you still know today.
Right.
Jay Gould's kids become members eventually. And so if George Russell is based on Jay Gould and the Russells go to Jekyll Island in a future season, I will die. My favorite is the Crane Cottage. And when I was a teenager, I was absolutely convinced that I was going to get married there, but I'm not rich and I did not marry rich. So we did not get married at the Crane Cottage. But every time we went, I was like, it's like the perfect setting. There's this fountain with steps around either side of it. And inside is so beautiful. Anyways, you can still go. Like you could go tomorrow if you're in Georgia and in Southeast Georgia and are like, you know, I really want to see where these millionaires lived. You can go to the Jekyll Island Club. You can tour all of these old homes. Some of them are restaurants. Some of them are just set up for tour. I grew up going there. So like hearing about like a show about the Rockefellers or the Rockefellers aren't there yet, but this character is based on the Vanderbilts. I'm like, this is everything. This is everything I want.
I love that.
I'm almost done. I love the Gilded Age though. If you haven't watched the Gilded Age, you've got to. There's 2 seasons out now, 8 episodes per season. They go by so fast. I literally have been in a rut since that episode ended. And they haven't even started filming season 3 yet. They've signed on for it, but they'll start in July. I started Second Night Stand by Karelia and Faye Stetz Waters. More on that later. And then last but not least, we had Auntie's Day. So I'm not the twins' mom, but there is not an aunt day that's widely celebrated. So they decided that they're going to do Auntie's Day on Mother's Day. So I woke up and there was an Auntie's Day banner hanging on the fireplace. We ran for us following CDC guidelines, quick lunch and a shopping spree at the bookstore. I was the only one who go in. They were like, you're going to go buy whatever books you want. But since Josh wasn't feeling good, I was like, you know what? He was fine. But I was like, I'm just going to grab a few. So I still have some cash to keep shopping again. And then I got a handmade flower bouquet and a very sweet card. And then we went and saw my mom and my grandmother for Mother's Day. And I made my mom a book bouquet.
So cute.
And yeah, it was very cute. And my baby niece had field day today and we had to replace the TV. And I think that was it. I kind of had a boring week. It's been the Gilded Age. It's all I can think about. It's all I can talk about. It's all I can think about.
That's fair.
What did you do this week?
So I finished reading Heavenbreaker by Sarah Wolf, which we talked about last week. Quick one sentence recap. We have Sonali, who is hellbent on getting revenge and uses giant jousting robots in space to do so. That pretty much encompasses it, and it's just as wild as it sounds. And it sounds like it wouldn't work, but it works so well. And I'm really excited for book two. I cannot wait. And by the time this episode comes out, the book will be out, so go into a store and pick
Hey, I still have mine here. That's what it looks
it
like if you're on Patreon.
Yes, it's so pretty. So for Mother's Day, I wanted to do absolutely nothing. I stayed in bed all day. My daughter brought me breakfast in bed. She brought me lunch in bed. I was in my Kindle hut. I did not move from my Kindle hut. In my Kindle, I put Second Night Stand by Karelian Faustus Waters, and I just laid in bed and read that all day, and it was glorious. It was so nice.
Love.
I did not leave my bed, probably to go to the bathroom, but I did not do anything but read that day, and it was the best Mother's Day ever. So I read Second Night Stand, and again, more on that later. I read Our First Chance by Robbie Couch, which is a prequel short story to Another First Chance, which is his upcoming novel. I am convinced that he wrote this just so that he could make reading Another First Chance hurt even more than we already think
Oh
it's going to hurt.
no.
Because in this very, it's a very short story. It's like four chapters, and it's one from each, from one chapter from four different characters' POV. So one is Mavis, one is Dylan, one is River, and then one is, I don't know his name, but I think he's the creator of the Affinity Trials. And so you see Mavis and River's lifelong friendship, like their relationship and how comfortable they are with each other. You see what seems to be the beginning of the Affinity Trials, and you see kind of the start of Dylan and River's friendship. And if you know the premise of Another First Chance, all of that information that I just told you is very heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So I'm convinced this was just cruel and unusual punishment.
He hangs
It
out
was,
with Silvera, okay? What do
yeah,
we expect?
exactly. But
Ugh.
it was really good. It was really quick. Like I said, it's four chapters, it's a short story, but it hits all the points very quickly and very it's there, and you know that you're being told this for a reason, and I'm sure it's going to play out once you get to Another First Chance. So I'm excited to get to that. And then I read Of Manners and Murder by Anastasia Hastings. It is 1885 London. You have Violet, whose Aunt Adelia has decided to run off with her latest paramour, and she leaves Violet in charge of Miss Hermione, which is like a popular advice column. And the first letter that Violet receives and tries to respond to leads her down the path of investigating the death of one Ivy Armstrong, which turns out to not be as innocent a death as it seems on the surface. There is more than meets the eye. And so it is I don't know if I would say it's a cozy mystery, but it is definitely cozy mystery adjacent. It's not quite as cozy as I think when I think of cozy mystery, but
Yeah.
vibes. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I did not know, had no clue how it was going to end up, and it definitely took a turn at the end. I was like, did not see that coming. That is wow. Did not see that coming. That was really great. I liked it. So I would recommend it. And the last thing is, I listened to the audiobook of Lady Charlotte Always Gets Her Man by Violet Marsh. This is like a brother's best friend romance that is combined with a mystery. It's like a historical rom-com. And you've got Lady Charlotte, who is being forced to be betrothed to Holly, I think is his name, Lord Holly, who has had two previous wives die under mysterious circumstances, and he's just
Well,
generally
who's
not a nice.
betrothing their children to this man?
Not he's not he's not generally not a nice person, but
Oh.
her parents are very much like, he's the son of a duke, he's the heir to a dukedom, so you're gonna marry him.
You're gonna go die third.
But they can't officially like announce the engagement or the betrothal until Holly's father returns from, I don't know, from the continent. I don't know where he is. He's not in London, but it will be back in like, I don't know, 6 weeks or something. So they can't officially announce this betrothal until then. And so Lady Charlotte does what any self-respecting woman would do and runs away and invests and finds herself at a woman-owned coffee house that is, it's run by her cousin and her cousin's cousin on the other side. And she's like, you know what? What if I invested in this? We expanded and we have kind of like a coffee house speakeasy where it's like secret word of mouth and anybody can come and it's like an intellectual discussion place. Everybody is kind of on equal footing kind of thing, which is radical for 1880s London,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
And
Well,
so,
woman-owned itself is radical.
And so then you have Dr. Matthew Talbot, who is the brother of, oh, I just saw, is Viscount Holly. Viscount Holly, who is like the complete opposite of his brother, right? He is like the best guy ever, super sweet, and has.
Whoops.
And he's like best friends with Violet's. Is her name? No, Violet is the author. Charlotte. Sorry. I keep getting those names confused and I don't know why.
It's the
He's like,
let.
he's best friends with Charlotte's twin brother. And he and Charlotte's brother are secretly investigating Holly to prove that he had his previous wives murdered. But there are more secrets afoot because Talbot was on the continent and doing things that he has kept secret. It's
He's a
kind of like,
murderer.
no, in a good way. It's like if you mixed a historical romance with a modern day rom-com and 007
Oh,
in a cozy
okay.
story.
All
There's a
right.
lot going on there and it's so chaotic, but it's so good.
All right.
So, yeah. I really enjoyed it and I highly recommend it.
All right.
And I think that was my week. I mean, I talked about Mother's Day. I did today do an Instagram live with Lauren Kung Jessen, which was very like stressful. I was like nervous when I
You
started
did
it.
great.
Thank you. I was very nervous and then I like saw Lauren's face and like, okay,
Just
I'm just on
Lauren.
a phone I'm just on a phone call with my friend. It's not a big deal. Nobody's watching. It's fine, right? And I was texting Lauren afterwards. I was like, L listen, like everything that could have gone wrong went wrong, right? So first we had the mishap where like Lauren couldn't log on, like she couldn't see it, so she couldn't log on. And then Lauren couldn't find like the stand for her phone. And then my internet like dropped so that we had to restart it. And then we were like 2 minutes in and I get a phone call while Lauren's talking. So I had to like do that. And then we're going and one of my headphones dies. And I was just like, all the things are
Why is
just
this happening? We're
and
just trying to talk
we're just
Ying
Just want to talk about her new book, which is very exciting. Yeah, but it was really fun. So it's saved to my Instagram. If you didn't get to catch it live, it's there. And it
love
was
song. What
really
day is it
fun.
out? January?
January
Or
14th.
I was gonna say 15th. Yeah.
January 14th, 2025. You can pre-order it now wherever you get your books. But if you pre-order from Parnassus Books, you can get a signed and personalized copy, and you can also ask for doodles, and there will be pre-order goodies that will be revealed later. So I always ask for I all of my books from Parnassus from Lauren are like doodled in. So I
Doodle on
love
this, please.
doodles. Yes. So yeah. That was pretty much my week. I went on my daughter's field trip today, which was fun. But yeah, that was my week.
Do you have a fictional boyfriend of the week?
I do. I do. I'm gonna say I have two. The first is Rax from Heavenbreaker. He is like so opposite of Sonali. Like, if this was a Grumpy Sunshine trope, he would be sunshine and she would be grumpy.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that dynamic. And it's like so clear. Like, it's a slow burn. Like so slow burn that I think it would give Assistant to the Villain a run for its money of how
Oh, my
slow burn it
God.
is.
Wait a second, I'm gonna throw this. I love a
So it's
slow
like
burn, but oh.
it's slow burn, but it's like so obvious he's gone for her.
Yeah.
So obvious. And like, I don't think either of them has admitted it to themselves. And it's so good. I'm so excited. So
Oh.
I love him. And then also Dr. Matthew Talbot from Lady Charlotte Always Gets Her Man. He is like, he's got like the coolness of James Bond while also being like super nerdy and shy.
Oh.
Like, he could kick your ass, but he could also talk to you about comic books. You know what I mean?
Love, love,
So, yeah. And he's like
love.
so like respectful of women, which is radical in 1880s London,
Yeah.
you know? So
Oh
it's
my
just like
God. You don't know how funny it is what you just said,
what did I
but you
say?
will find out in just a minute.
Okay, well,
You're dead.
that's what I have to say about my fictional boyfriends. Tell me what you have to say.
Let me tell you about Larry Russell from the Gilded Age. He's so cute. Okay. He's got like almost, it's got to be black, maybe dark, dark brown, black hair, Harry Styles dimples, and the sweetest smile that this world has ever seen. I'm so gone for Larry Russell. Learned how to treat women from his daddy, George Russell, the goat. But what is so funny about what you just said is let me read you this paragraph I've written. This is a historical fact and not a major plot spoiler, but just in case you want to worry about any minor spoilers, skip ahead. So George Russell, who's the dad, is a big investor of the building of the Brooklyn Bridge in season two, right? And rather than overseeing his interests himself, because he's also got railroad money and he's got like a lot of logs in the fire, whatever they say. So he gives this task to his son. Larry's an adult. You are going to oversee, the Russell money and what it's doing at the bridge. So Larry is told to go find Mr. Washington Roebling, who is the engineer, about finalizing the Brooklyn Bridge because it's about to open. Larry goes to meet Mr. Roebling and finds out, this is historically factual, okay, that Mr. Roebling has been basically bedridden for over 10 years. And his wife, Emily Warren Roebling, who's a very well-versed engineer in her own right, has kind of taken over as engineer. And she's been using his name and claiming that she's, oh, well, he told me to say this. I went and talked to him and it ain't been him. So there's apparently a plaque on the Brooklyn Bridge, like to right now, in her honor, because the bridge would not be there if it was not for Emily Warren Roebling. So, anyways, Larry immediately sees like she's not communicating on behalf of her husband. And he kind of like, he says he's leaving, but he kind of sneaks back in and sees her like writing all of the things and she's in a room by herself. And so he like immediately sees that she's brilliant and she's like, if people knew a woman designed the bridge, they wouldn't use it. And like, we need this bridge. He is like, that's nonsense. Absolutely not. They have like the party at the opening, and he's like, I want to acknowledge Emily Warren Roebling. And he worded it to where she got credit, but it also didn't like, because she didn't want her husband to be shit on either. It's not, he had like decompression sickness, which is like the same thing that can happen to you if you scuba dive too fast. Like you come up from scuba diving too fast. And he was literally bedridden. And she's like, he can't help this. I don't want his legacy tainted. But so he wanted to give credit where it's due to a woman in the 1880s in New York rather than pish-poshing because she's a woman.
Yes. Isn't this the same guy who, like, in season one, I didn't watch it. I feel like I remember you talking about it. The guy who the old money people were shitting on his wife, and so he comes in and, like, buys something out from under them.
George, that's his dad. Okay, I
Okay,
wasn't
okay.
gonna say this because I thought it was a spoiler. Yes, he comes in and he's like, oh, I'll just buy everything you have.
Yeah. I
I want to
remember
buy one of everything.
you It like was like coming back to me. I remember you talking about it, and I was like, wait,
I
something's
just like
happening.
sit there and just like my jaw is on the floor every time George is doing anything with his wife.
I
In this season,
love.
there's like the Academy for Music is the opera that everybody goes to, but then somebody's opening the Metropolitan Opera House, which is where I'm from this week, and she got kind of leaned. She wants a box at the Academy, but they've shunned her and they like just treat her like she doesn't exist. And so she's like, well, I guess I have to support this one. And now I'm going to use all of my, time to make this one better. And things happen. And conveniently, every time her husband goes into a room with anybody who's involved, the problems are solved. And he'll say, it's a simple accounting issue. No, it's just that George is wonderful and loves you and wants you to be happy.
Love.
But back to Larry, if he and Marion, who is like the main character from season one, are not endgame, I am moving away from Earth immediately. And I've been saying this since season one. She's always got some other guy. You know, there's always, oh, well, you know, we want you to be talking to him. He's a very interesting man. He could. Larry's always there. Like, if something goes wrong, if someone hurts her feelings, she just turns around and there's my best friend from across the street, Larry, with Harry Styles and dimples and the sweetest smile in the world. And so I am like, this is slow burn. It is slowly burning and I am dying watching it. And I'm just like, if they don't make beautiful babies soon and take them to Jekyll Island, I'm going to leave Earth.
I love
because
that
it's
we.
Killing me.
I love that we had the same vibes separately. This
yes, when you said, "Oh my gosh, the way he treats women in London in 18
Listen,
in the 1880s," I was like,
"You said 1880s New York," and I was like, "Let me tell you, I'm about to talk about 1880s London."
We're in our period piece eras.
Oh, I love it.
Okay,
you know, so I think it's so funny that we're having this conversation, like, completely unaware that this was going to happen. But there's been, like, historical romance, like, discord on Threads. Like, people are claiming that historical romance is dying or dead. And I'm
girl.
Like... Are
Ma'am,
you
Bridgerton started today and it's killing me that I
like
haven't
historical
started
fiction,
it.
Historical romance, anything like historicals, period. And I'm like, are you okay?
That is all I want.
Are
okay.
you okay? Whoever is saying this, just because it's
guys.
Not trending on TikTok, like,
and just because it's not something
face.
You personally want to
shut
read.
Your face. Yeah. Anyways.
My God. Anyways, Larry Russell. I'm gonna send you a picture of him and you're gonna be like, oh, baby angel.
I'm in.
Baby angel. Well, that
love it.
Smile. If you're having a bad day, just think of Larry Russell's smile and you'll feel better.
I love it. That sound means we have an intruder alert.
We have both a repeat offender and a new intruder.
This is
at the same
so,
time. This is so
exciting. You guys, we have Karelia and Faye Stutz Waters, author of Second Night Stand. This is Faye's debut. This is Karelia and Faye's first time writing together as a couple. And I cannot wait to talk about this, you guys. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
Thank y'all for being here, Karelia. Welcome back. Faye, welcome for the first time.
You.
So what we normally do is we ask our authors to give us kind of an elevator pitch of the book in case somebody has been living under a rock and never heard of it.
All right. Sounds good. So, okay, yeah. So this is the story of a ballerina and a burlesque performer who fall in love on a reality television talent show. They both have a lot at stake. Lillian, the ballerina, is at risk of losing her ballet company, which is losing money. Their funders are pulling out, and she needs the prize money to keep going. Now, Izzy, aka burlesque performer Blue Lennox, she's bought a vintage, as in completely run down, theater where she wants to create a safe performance space for LGBTQ community members. But the theater needs a ton of work. She's poured all her money into it. She's at risk of losing the theater and maybe her house, and she needs the prize money. They meet on the show, and well, let me back up here one sec. They meet before the show and have one lovely night together, but both of them are one night only kind of people. No scones in the morning, no cuddling, no exchanging phone numbers. They are like shooting stars in each other's lives, or so they think, until they end up on the show together. And the chemistry is incredible. And of course, it's a love story.
Oh,
one of them
so
says something at during the one night stand about how I'm not going to buy a second bedside or another bedside table. And they said, so no second night stands. And I was like,
I lost it. I lost it. <That's> so good. Oh my gosh. So clever.
That was so clever. I just thought that was so funny. I nearly fell out on the floor. I was laughing so hard. Like, that is amazing.
So
that
good.
Such good writing.
Faye totally gets credit for that one. With all the books I've written before this one, I proposed a title, and then the editors and the publicists chose another title, which is totally fine. Coming up with titles is way too stressful for me. So I didn't mind. But Second Night Stand, which was Faye's idea, was the first title where the editor was like, yeah, that's good. We'll go with that.
I love it. Okay, so first I want to know, can we coin the term or coin like a genre, cozy spice? Because like with this book, I'm not done yet, but I so far I'm so homey and so warm and cozy when I'm reading, but then it's spicy too, and I'm like, okay, cozy spice. I feel like you guys started a new genre. We need more. Yeah, we need more in this genre.
I like
I love
that.
that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
I feel
think
like
you
we
should get
need
some
it.
serious points for inventing a new genre. Like,
I
well,
did it. You did
you guys did it.
Nice.
I mean,
Well,
I feel
love
like it's
going
only
out in the
fair.
world where people feel cozy. The friendship is there, a lot of side characters, but it's a community. And we really wanted
Right.
that to come through on the page. And
Yes.
so,
You succeeded.
community makes us feel
Absolutely.
cozy.
So, what's it like co-writing with your partner, with your wife?
Wow, she is amazing. She writes every day. She's so dedicated, and I learned so much from her in this process. The way I think, I'm all over the place. Lots of ideas. It's an idea, idea a second. And so throw it all on the page. And then my wife is very good at pulling out what are the kernels, what are the good pieces, how do they fit together? And she's very good at everything. And I'm good at coming up with a lot of fun and interesting ideas, which makes us perfect combination because Faye's got so many ideas, and I have a lot of discipline, and I'm very organized and linear. But I'll get an idea, and then I just often can't see anything else. So I'd be like, this idea is not working, but what else could I possibly think of? And then Faye and I will sit down, we'll look at where we are in the plot, and then she'll propose 16 or 17 great ideas. And then we'll talk through like the pros and cons of each one. And it's really fun, and it's way less stressful than writing on my own because I am full of self-doubt, but I have this absolute and understandable confidence in Faye. Like, I have complete confidence in her, whereas I doubt myself a lot. So it's really fun to know that she's like in it with me. And I will write something and I'm just like, well, here's my best effort. I just want you to just take a look at it. And she's just so supportive. This is really great. I love what you did here. I love what you did here. I love what you did here. And then it's just a confidence builder. And then it just inspires me to just keep going. So I like to do like three, I don't know, scenes, I would call them in a row so I could get some continuity and then put it in the drive. My wife will look at them and see how they fit. So it's been fun. Fun and collaborative.
And we're keeping the same brand image as my last two romances. They're in the same world. The protagonist from behind the scenes cameo in Second Night Stand. So we really wanted to keep the experience the same for the readers. So if they like
Right.
the last two, they're gonna like this one. So we'll talk about, yeah, I call it like putting the brand image like filter on it. So we'll write together and then I'll go through and I'll make sure that this is, the tone, the style is in keeping with the tone and style of the previous two books so that people can enjoy them, as a standalone series. But I definitely think this one is spicier, and I think that's because we wrote it together.
I'm
Yeah.
so glad you brought up the cameo because I was reading it and I was like, why does this name sound so familiar? And I kept going, and then they said something about her partner or her wife, and I was like, oh my God, I know these people. I know these people. It was because it's been a while since I read behind the scenes, so I was like, why do I know this? Why do I know this? And it was just such a fun like Easter egg that I wasn't exactly expecting, but I loved it, and it fits so well into the narrative of this story in particular as well because of kind of where that story goes. I don't want to give too much away, but Did you go into it knowing that you were gonna include that specific part? I'm trying really hard not to give spoilers. Include that specific part, or did it kind of just come up naturally in the process of writing the story?
I love having cameos because I love seeing the characters after their happy ending, because the romance covers the first little bit of their relationship, but then there's so much more. Faye and I have been together for 25 years. And so, the part that would have made it into a romance novel is just like such a little part of our total relationship. So the cameo, I feel like it gives a way to show that continuing relationship. But I can't remember exactly, besides that I like cameos, how we came up with this one. Can you, Faye?
No, I'm trying to think of that. Yeah, was such. I mean, when I look back at our notes, when I look at, we have a storyboard, pictures, who we thought the characters would look like, because I'm a visual person. I need a lot of hints and need to stay in the work because, we have full-time jobs and, it takes me a while to get back into, the setting. And so I'm trying to remember. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I can't pull that part.
Wait, it's in a notebook somewhere.
Well,
There's a notebook
regardless,
for
it
that.
worked so well, so it's perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent. So if you've read Coralie's other books, you're gonna have a you're in for a treat, guys.
So the banter in this book stands out to me so much from the very beginning. They are able, Izzy and Lillian are able to just go back and forth and kind of meet each other without stumbling even. They're just, I mean, they stumble internally, but they are so witty and so back and forth with each other. How much fun was that to write? Because it seems like that had to have been a blast.
It really
Just
was.
like so enjoyable.
Yeah, it really was. Really getting their voices, having that consistency. How do people talk? How do we share? What's funny? What's a miscommunication? How do you recover from that? It's just fun.
Yeah, definitely.
I just love the dialogue in this
Yeah.
book. I just.
The back and forth is really excellent. Where did the story originally come from? Because, you've got two very different, I mean, I want to say very different, but at the end of the day, they are kind of similar worlds. But they're, you've got ballet and you've got burlesque performance, and you don't often see that come together. Where did their respective, I guess, backgrounds come from?
Well, the character of Blue originally started as actually the best friend from Satisfaction Guaranteed, Beckett. So I had imagined a book for Beckett. And then, oh, for a variety of reasons, including that, this is a fresh project for Faye. So we decided not to have Izzy be specifically Beckett. Although, for all the people who have asked, is Beckett going to get her own story? You could just pretend. Just pretend this is Beckett's story. Because really, a lot of Blue's character is Beckett from Satisfaction Guaranteed.
And then I am an
Yes.
absolute fan of dance movies. If it is dance, if it is cheerleading, if it's reality TV show competition, I will watch it. I will binge watch it. I will root for. And so the idea of the show was a way to put those kind of genres together. And they're so, one is so, burlesque as you're very talented. You're very, very talented, but very risque in a way. And then the ballet is very rigid, very formal. There's the techniques, there's steps. One is very trained and the other one, not as much. And so the idea of putting those together to me is like the opposites attracting idea. These worlds just kind of colliding. And the challenges of being in those worlds impacting people's lives on the daily. Hence the troupe leader needing the money and the ballet troupe leader needing the money to keep doing what they enjoy doing. So
So,
I just
did your interest in all of those shows help with writing and like having like a technical idea of how a ballet dancer would be different from a burlesque dancer and what their worlds would be like? Or did y'all have to do outside research other than like, look, I watch this all the time. I know what I'm talking about.
We went to ballets, we went to burlesque shows. I wanted to understand the physicality. I also wanted to understand like the moves. I mean, ballet is very technical, to make sure that the commands that Lillian is giving out, match, what the ballet dancer or should be doing. So yeah, I learned a lot.
Faye does more of the research, which I love because even though I'm an English teacher, writing teacher, I am a sloppy researcher. So, and Faye, but I'll be like, oh, it's not in the first 10 hits in Google. It must not be known by anyone in the universe. And Faye will dig so deep in. She'll be like, look what I found. I'm like, where? She's like,
370th page.
pages into the Google search. It's amazing what's out there.
I'm a lawyer in my day job, so you have to go deep into the legal research to find the case that you need. So you never
That's a good
stop.
point. Yeah, you want
That's
to do your
fair.
due diligence. I'm with you, Corelia. I am a this must not be real. I must have made it up. It just must.
It's not there. It's not
Google
there.
says it's not there.
This
If Alexa can't tell me, I don't know
is.
it.
That's a fair point. Can we talk about this cover?
Oh
Because
my gosh.
I'm dead. It is so good. Can you talk about the process of getting this cover designed? How much input did you guys have? Just kind of brag on this because this
Their
is,
facial expressions.
it's
Oh, I love it.
absolute
Everything is
perfection.
perfect.
Like, tell me all about it.
Yeah. So this was a total bucket list item for me. The artist is Vanessa Kelly. She's amazing. She did a lot of the artwork for Red, White, and Royal Blue and a lot of other books that people love and have heard of. And she's my favorite illustrator. And I had art from, she did the cover for, or at least art for Alison Cochrane's Kiss Her Once for Me. So I had a picture, framed picture from Vanessa Kelly's Etsy, store on my wall. And our editor will publisher will always ask, what are your ideas for the cover? They get to design and pick it, but what are your ideas? And I said, well, I would, here's the kind of thing I'm interested in. And I love Vanessa Kelly's art. So if you could find someone like that, that would be awesome. And then
They said, say
by
less.
and by, I guess Vanessa was trying to email, they hired her, but they didn't tell us. They hired her, but they didn't mention that to us. And she was trying to get in touch with the art department or something at the publishers with a question. But for some reason, her emails were all going through to spam. So they weren't getting her messages, and she had a deadline. So she messaged me on Instagram. And I think the question was, which character is taller? And she's like, which of your characters? She's like, I love your book. Which character is taller? And I was like, the book is not even out in ARC. Like, how? Who is this? Oh my gosh, it's Vanessa Kelly. Oh my gosh, they've hired her to do the cover. So that was like absolutely, she's amazing. And
She sent us the initial sketches, asked for our input in terms of like, what are they wearing? I think she even maybe gotten that from the book, but we were able to give feedback. We wanted a dark-complected black woman. We wanted short hair. We wanted a curvy white woman with blue hair, so yeah, it was really fun to kind of work with her as she developed those and showed those to us. Beautiful book cover.
That is
What a
wild.
dream. Yeah.
Listen, we had somebody on the podcast recently, also from Forever, who they had asked her, I think it was like about audiobook narrators, and just casually threw out, like, haha, wouldn't it be funny if we got this person? Not that they would ever do it. And then they did. Apparently, Forever is like really, really good at making dreams come true, you
They
guys.
are. They are.
Oh my gosh, I love that
That is
story.
so cool. And I love that they didn't tell you until you just get a cold DM. Like,
They're like, we made your dream come true, but we forgot to mention it.
We forgot to mention
Silent fumble
that.
brag.
No big deal.
Thank God for spam.
Yeah, right?
Jeez.
What was that? First time, right?
Oh
Yeah.
my
So we've gotten to talk to Corelia about satisfaction guaranteed and behind the scenes. But Faye, this is your first foray into publishing. So what has that experience been like for you? I know
Well,
you've been here with Corelia for her books, but like to be also in the driver's seat.
still doesn't feel real, The books came in the mail, the box. I open it up and I see my name and I'm like, oh my gosh, we did this. I still can't believe it. We're having a book launch in a couple of weeks in Portland and at an actual bookstore, and people will be coming to see us and to talk about this book. And of course, my colleagues and our friends, and it's just really exciting and fun, and it's sex positive. I really like the messages in the book. I
Yes.
really like
Yeah.
so much. It's just been a wonderful experience. And then I get to hang out with my boo. I mean, it's just,
Oh,
it still hasn't
that
fully
is
hit.
amazing.
That's so much.
Yeah.
You guys are going to make my face hurt.
Yeah. I just like truly, I love, and I feel like, and we talked about this last time when you were on, Crayley, how much your love like shines through, not only in your work, but in the way you present yourself and the way you talk. And I feel like that's doubled in this book. You can tell how much you guys love each other. And yeah, it's, and
how
just,
much love went into it.
My heart, I don't know, my heart is just not handling all the, just exploding with happiness. I love it so much.
Thank you. It was fun. And, you know, we always talk about we love our relationship. I think we're pretty successful, you know, and we can't really give that kind of advice to other people because people would think you're obnoxious. Look how awesome we are in our relationship. But through our characters, and them showing compassion and love and their patience and great communication, I think is a fun way to be able to do those things. Yeah.
Do you identify with one character or the other more?
I think we totally do. I'm blue. And I'm totally the uptight guy. Totally blue.
I love it
so much. That's fun.
It was fun to write that, you know. Character who's so rigid and strict and disciplined to write those pieces, because it's really restricting. She's not going to do these things that are liberating and free. She's going to be thinking about how she is in the world and how other people see her because she's on stage and has been a performer. So
I think it has to be impossible to write without even a little bit of self-insert, because you only have your experiences, you know, and so it's nice that you have two perspectives that can both add and make such a lovely end result and like bring so much of yourselves and, you know, other people that you've seen and researched when you're going to ballets and burlesque shows and all of that. But yeah, that is so cool. That's
yeah,
so
we went
nice.
To the coast, you know, we got to go to the coast to, you kind of bring to life that the coastal scene, you know, the challenges were also fun to kind of think about. What do they look like in the real world? Is this something people would really do? Okay, we have an idea book at HOMA, which we can't find, but some of the challenges in the story come from our idea book.
The idea book is full of ideas that we have that are some of them really good, and some of them you're like, oh, what are you drinking? I just came up with that. you know, and some of them, a lot of them are products, and we check off when we see that someone else has invented the product. So we put in the idea book, like headphones that you can sleep in. Well, that's totally a thing you can buy now.
I want some shower ones.
Oh, I need a pair of that.
Yeah.
I said the other day on Threads that I want someone to make a Roomba for teeth so that I can brush my teeth while I'm doing all my skincare, because I don't want to do this for this long.
Yeah,
I need something that cleans my teeth while I clean my skin.
You need an idea book.
That's we're gonna start doing that now. Just have a book.
Yeah,
just
I'm gonna have
down.
An idea book by my bed.
I love this.
So the scene where they're promoting the reality TV show challenge, they have to promote the outdoor wear that has giant cougar eyes painted on the butt to deflect predators. So that was in the idea book. That was one of our ideas, was, you know, you get this like cool urban wear, but it's got like giant eyes. You know how they have, like, if you want to scare crows away, you put up a owl, you know, sculpture. Mm-hmm. So that was in the idea book.
You know, every time we would go hiking, she, you know, talk about cougars and like cougars and snakes. I'm afraid of cougars, and, you know, but if I had these, you know, cougar deflecting jeans, that's how we came up with, put eyes on the back, and then the cougar will think,
hey,
I'm going to run away. Put that in the idea book.
That's brilliant. Yes, gotta go in the idea book. Listen, somebody at some point hung a paper bag up in their porch and realized that it would deflect bees and wasps and stuff.
Yeah.
If they hadn't had their idea, nobody would know to do that. So, I mean, cougar deflecting pants could be the next big thing for hikers.
Yeah.
I mean, don't knock it. I'm not going to. That's kind of brilliant.
Okay, so we have. Yeah, I was going to say complete shift from the cougar deflecting pants. We have a segment on our podcast, which we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week. And it doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Sometimes we pick, I had a fictional granny. It's just kind of.
Fictional found family.
Picking a fictional character that we really kind of vibed with that week. So I'm curious if you guys have any fictional characters either of this week that you're really digging or just kind of all time. You're like, yes, them, mine, give me.
Books, movies, TV, anything. Mine was a character from The Gilded Age this week because I binged that and was obsessed.
Let's see. I'm terrible with the like pick a character games, like especially the one that's like, who would you cast as your character? Like I was on a podcast, but they had to like edit out that whole question because I was just like, I like that question. I was like, if anyone ever asked me again about, you know, the book boyfriend, or I would pick the love interest in Vosconi's Sorry Bro. And I'm blanking on the name of the character, but I got the book right here.
I love it when they're that close. And you're like, hold on, let me open this real quick.
First of all, the cover
that's
is beautiful.
Yeah.
Lynn Vosconi's Sorry Bro, and the love interest's name is Erebuni. And Vosconi actually has a new book coming out like right now, basically. Mm. And she's really good. And the love interest is just, she's like that cross between like, had I not met Faye, I would have wanted to date her / be her. So, you know, she's just cool and confident and like just a really neat character. So I definitely a book I would recommend to folks.
Well, that question's coming.
Yeah. Oh boy. You might have to.
This is
out.
Where every book, movie,
everything leaves your brain.
What is a TV show? Maybe. I don't know what that is.
It's like, have I ever read a book? What is that?
See, I normally have. I have mine locked and loaded, and I've had to tell Karen when somebody's like, "Okay, well, what is yours?" And she's like, "I don't know."
And I'm like, "Mandy,
I know yours.
Mandy, tell me."
Anybody who's ever, anybody Chloe Garn has ever written.
I'm a deer. I asked the question, and I'm a deer in the headlights. So,
Gone. Can't even form. Like, character name.
You're gonna wake up at 2 a.m. and be like, guys, I got it. I got it.
I got it. She's always accusing me of sleeping in front of the TV and takes pictures. And so, you know, I'm like, I'm not sleeping.
My husband does that. He's snoring. And I'm like, you're asleep. I'm not. No, I wasn't. Oh, no,
my daughter, too. My gosh. This is an epidemic.
The other night she was in front of the TV. She had not picked a movie yet.
Yeah.
So the screen is still up with all the options and she's got the remote in her hand and she is dead asleep. And I took a picture, and as soon as I took the picture, it was like her subconscious knew and she clicked a button to like start a movie. I'm like, You were asleep.
She's like, no, I wasn't.
You are always awake. Oh,
she's resting her eyes.
That's right.
That's it. I love this.
All right. Well, same vein, but switching gears a little bit. We know we love your books and your book, and we know that we recommend them to our audience. But what do you recommend? What is like, I think everybody should read this book. This author is fantastic. Do you have a favorite book? Anything like that? We always are looking to add to our never-ending TBR.
Mm-hmm. I just finished No Shelter But the Stars by Virginia Black, and it was amazing. It's science fiction, which isn't usually my reading genre, but you know, when you have a good writer, it doesn't matter whether this is the genre the reader usually reads or not. But it's about two women who are, you know, enemies based on their political factions that they belong to, who get stranded on basically an abandoned planet, empty planet, almost no water, almost no food, almost no plants, and they have to band together to survive. And it is so beautifully written, and the love story between them is just like, it reached into my heart and like grabbed my heart and like squeezed it. I was just like, oh my gosh, I love these characters so much, and they have to survive and come together and try and heal these two warring factions in their universe. And so really, really good. It made Black like an automatic, like, I will pre-order as soon as one of her books goes online. Like,
I love that.
Very nice.
Well, I like romances that also intersect with cooking or baking. Ooh. And so, you know, I really enjoyed Kisoko Jackson's salt with a dash of salt and pepper, interracial, male, striving, mistakes galore. And it was really kind of the first male romance that I read. And I was like, wow, this is pretty hot, pretty sexy. So hey. I really enjoyed that. And just the reading. He does such a great job of bringing his characters to life. And I just thought, and I had not written any very much when I was reading this, but I was like, oh, that could be me. Mm-hmm. That could be me. Let's get started. So,
and it's you now.
Yeah.
And it's you now.
Yeah, like,
for food romances, can we interest you in Lauren Kung Jessen?
Yes.
Because her books will leave you starving.
Yes.
Like, you cannot read her books without
food. You have to
food.
Be like, I always joke, if you're going to read a Lauren Kung Jessen book, you need to take the book, go to a dim sum restaurant, and set up for like a couple hours while you're reading, because otherwise you're going to be starving.
Okay.
There's just no way to read them without eating.
Oh, I love
and then there's
that.
Also The Unfortunate Side Effects of Heartbreak and Magic by Brianne Randall. She talks a lot about food, but then at the end of the chapter, there's a recipe.
At the end of every chapter.
I can cook this. I can make grandma's peach pie.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Do it.
And if you
I can
like
make the mac and cheese.
Listen, there's also a cooking competition romance. Okay. Alexis Hall, Rosalind Palmer takes the cake, and Paris Alicorn is
too.
About to crumble.
I love that one too. Oh yes.
I was laughing so hard. It's so
yes,
good.
I forgot about that one. Yeah.
My first time reading Alexis Hall, and I was like, this is a vibe, guys. I'm here for this.
Yeah, that one was fun.
So good.
There is nothing like a book that makes you starving.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, why am I not eating exactly what's on this page? I'm reading right out of this book.
That's the next thing. Like, we need to figure out how to make that happen. You read something and then it just pops up at you. It's like a pop-up book, but with food.
Or you turn the page and the DoorDash order places.
Ooh.
Idea book.
Idea book.
Yes,
idea book. Idea book. Code. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Card number, right? Man, there.
All right. Love this. Love
that
this. We're all about to be so
take
rich,
my credit
guys.
Card.
We are all about to be so rich from this idea. It was a collaborative effort.
Yes, I love it.
Yes.
Okay, so Second I Stand. I know it's not out yet, quite yet. But what's coming next? Are you guys writing more together? Are you writing individually? What's the plan? Where can I get more Cozy Spice?
Are writing together. The next book is tentatively titled Taste the Love, and it's slated to come
out. Are you
out.
Giving us a food book?
Yes. Faye is an amazing, amazing cook. So it was just perfect to do a food story. If this one is a food truck, very successful food truck influencer and a very kind of highfalutin eco chef with a brick and mortar restaurant. And I have forgotten when that is slated to come out. Not for a while yet.
January 2025?
26? I'm not sure.
No, I think it's 25.
Oh, okay. Next year.
Oh, that's not so bad.
That's so soon.
That is soon. Yeah.
We're going to cover now. So
that is so exciting. You heard it here first, folks.
It's going to be great. And we're having a lot of fun. And
I'm making recipes. I'm taking pictures of the things I'm creating. And so.
Now we just need the QR code.
Yeah.
For the DoorDash to go in there.
Oh, I love this. This is
from
so
your
exciting.
Kitchen to our doors.
That's right. Yes.
Again, if you need taste testers, like just let us know. I'm on the way.
We're
on the way. I will jump on a plane.
I will absolutely. It's just like a day's drive away. I'm in Bay Area, California. So I'm like on my way. Guys.
I'm in Georgia. I'm not close.
Flight.
We got it. It's gonna happen.
I love it. love it.
Oh, I am so excited.
This is great. So are you gonna continue? I mean, obviously you're gonna continue writing together, but do you have plans to write like solo books for in the future, or just gonna
I mean, I think a different genre for me. I think I have a memoir in me down the road somewhere. Boring, but a memoir. But not. I'm good with the collaboration. This is really the next step in my writing career is writing with Faye, and it's really nice because I think I might have gotten not bored, but maybe stalled a little bit. This is my 9th book, so I'd written 8 on my own, and I am. Wanted something new, something different. But I love romance. I didn't want to switch genres. So yeah. I'm in for as long as you are up for the I want a movie deal. You just want a movie deal.
Yes, let's do it.
We manifest here.
We are manifestors here. Okay.
Ideas.
Dear universe. We are going to have all of the films, all of the movies about all of Karelia and Faye's books, shows, movies, merch, everything. It's going to be on the big screen.
I would like
and
to have.
We're going to travel for the premiere.
I want an official boa, like an official Stepford boa.
It's going to be a movie.
I really like that. Yeah. So let's make this happen, universe. Listen,
we take our picture in front of the marquee that's in the picture on the cover of the book.
No way!
Yes.
Oh, Arlene Schnitzer Center at that Portland.
I love that. Fun. I
oh my gosh,
love that so mm-hmm. much.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
Yep.
Okay, well, we can't let you go without informing you of some bad news. I'm so sorry to tell you, but now that you have been on the podcast, you are actually legally obligated to come back for all future.
That's why Karelia is here.
Oh, yes. Count me in.
It was just in the fine print in white. You
I will sign the document. I got it. I love it.
So that means January.
We will see you again. We're ready. We're here for it.
So much fun.
Such a treat to talk to you. Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun. We do have one more thing. You have to give Willa kisses from us.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
It's also another requirement.
Absolutely.
There has to be loves and kisses. Is she there?
She had to walk this out. She's there. Worn out.
Oh, my goodness. Hi, sweetie.
I love her. Could you call Peeta, please?
Oh,
jeez, you
baby, oh I love goodness. Her so much.
Thank
Willa.
You so much for being here, for showing us that sweet girl. We love her. Everybody, when this
episode
comes out,
listening.
Second Night Stand is out now when this episode comes out. So you can walk into a bookstore and pick it up. It's real, Faye. Look, I have it in my hand. In my hands. It's for real. And everybody can go get a copy right now. Please do. And then come back and let us know how great it is because it's excellent, y'all. It's excellent. Thank y'all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Bye. We've had so much fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Look at her face. I love her. Oh my gosh. I love them both. Loved Karelia.
Yeah.
Now I think you've met them, right?
I met them at Stevie Lit Con. Yeah. And
I got to love Faye now. I loved her by extension, but
like they're just absolute goals. Just you can just tell. Not even like they don't even need to talk. You can just see how much they love each other.
Yeah.
And respect each other and support
each other.
Trust, yes. It's like instinct for them to be just perfect together. My heart. I love them so much. Seriously, this book, you guys, it's so
I know
fun.
I can't wait
I
to finish it.
So, I love
I
it so much.
I cannot wait to finish it.
I read it. I literally read it in a day. I was just like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to read this. Nobody bother me.
Do what I want.
Oh, So good. So good. That was so much fun.
I know.
Okay. Is it time for announcements?
Announcements.
Yes. Okay. Well, first announcement is that this next episode is going to be our mid-season finale. We will be taking a break after next week's episode for, I want to say it's like 10 weeks. It's about 2 months. We'll be back in August.
We just really want to go big on celebrating my birthday for...
I mean, that's just, you know, what's funny is that we kind of do. We take 2 months for your birthday and 2 months for my birthday.
Yeah.
Kind of like we're just
really, we're really birthday people. Okay.
It just kind of happens that way. I'm going to call it intentional, even though it wasn't really intentional, but it's totally intentional. So we will be taking a couple months off. We need to recuperate. Burnout is very real, and we love y'all. We love doing this, but burnout is a real thing.
We want to read on not a schedule.
Yeah.
We want to read. Yeah.
Yeah. So
we got some things that we've set to the side that are on the summer TBR.
Very excited about. But the other announcement is we are going out with a bang, okay? Because we are bringing back Mr. Robbie Couch himself. Woo-hoo! We're going to talk about Another First Chance. I'm probably going to cry a little bit because I'm sure this book is going to break me. Mm-hmm. I can feel it. I can feel it. I'm not ready, but I'm also totally ready because it's
Robbie.
I'm
ready to be hurt again.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's been taking lessons from Silvera. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So I am so excited that he's coming back. It's going to be such a blast. I can't wait.
But not only that.
Oh, are we talking about that? I think that's going to be a separate thing.
It's not going to be an announcement?
It's going to be, we can announce it next week because it's not going to be next week. I mean, it's going to happen. We're going to do the thing next week, but we're going to hold it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might have known that. I forgot that.
It's okay. It's been a week. It's been several months, actually.
I'm on two people brain. Oh, I didn't even mention this, and it's not doesn't matter to the thing, but I've told you, I think, I've had 3 migraines since Saturday. So I'm on
I was going to say, I'm like, there have been migraines thrown into like this week, too. And
this whole mix. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, then we don't have to announce. Just have to read it and interview. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I'm caught up.
Yeah.
I'm back
yeah.
up to speed.
And I think it's
what
time
about
for
a spiel?
Is it time for a spiel? All right, friends. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Please also follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. You can also stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog at theincoherentfangirl.com. There are lots of things for you there.
Maybe on our break, we'll catch up on writing some more.
Oh my God. Yes, I have so much writing to do. If you are interested in early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes, early announcements, bonus content, and the like of that, I don't know what else I put up there, but there's stuff.
Duh.
You can subscribe to our Patreon by heading to theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon. And speaking of stuff, you can get some merch from our merch store that she designed because she gets bored with an iPad sometimes.
I charged my iPad. So okay,
we're getting there.
It's literally on the charge.
Very exciting. If you would like some Incoherent Fangirl merch, you can head to theincoherentfangirl.com/shop. There's lots of cute stuff there, and we're very excited about all of it. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that were pretty, we will accept all of that in our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. And one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you are listening to us on. I don't know what happened, but we recently had like an uptick in downloads, which is very cool. So thanks.
Welcome.
For
that.
Hi. Thank you. We love you. And please give us your words because we love words here.
Yes,
we are words people.
We're word people. We're not number. Don't number us. Word
don't,
us.
Don't numbers, but words us. She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you have followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head on over and do some self-care and visit our internet besties because they're the best. We love them. The first stop is Here Comes the Nerd. You're going to go to herecomesthenerd.com, use code FANGIRL, and you're going to get 20% off your first order of super cute artsy stuff.
And once you've got your super cute artsy stuff, you're going to head over to onceuponabookclub.com. You can get a subscription. You can get a past box or just some of the goodies from boxes. And if you use either code Mandy10 or Karen10, you'll get 10% off. You can't stack them. We'll love you. We don't care which one you use. You should use whichever one your little heart desires. But make sure you spell Karen right, because if you don't, no percent off and looks of disgust from us. And I've mastered it. So
I'm a mom. She's an auntie. We got the look down.
I know how to convey that disappointment.
Yep. So you just have to remember, I am not like a regular Karen. I'm a cool Karen. It's very easy to remember if you just think of it that way. And once you have gotten some artsy goodies and you've got some book boxes, you're gonna want to go and get one of the most amazing high fantasy series that is out there right now. Head to amberdaylewis.com, use code fangirl10 to get 10% off. You should add probably like 10 of everything. We did the math, because that means you get one thing free. If you add 10, you use the 10% coupon, you get something free. Totally works. So definitely do that.
And then last but certainly not least, we're going to support the show husband. I think we'll keep him around. I don't know that there's going to be a Paranormal Mind episode right now because COVID. They were due to record and then COVID. So go check though. Keep an eye out on the Paranormal Mind. You can follow them at the Paranormal Mind, at Searchers Believe. You can go to searchersbelieve.com and see some of the exciting things they have going on. There's some really exciting things coming, I think, in July we could talk about.
Yay!
Not yet. And if you go to searchersbelieve.com/shop, there's more merch designed by me. If you use code FANGIRL10 there, you'll get 10% off as well.
Yay! We love self-care and shopping. They go hand in hand, as far as I'm concerned.
For sure.
And that was...
That was the Incoherent Fangirl. We love you.
Love you. Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.